quickly turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 9. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 9. I see your life transforming in Jesus' name. I see you being a soldier for Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel, chapter 1. We are reading from verse 9. Are you there? The Bible says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hallelujah. Now, I read this scripture because in the first week or so of August, we will be having a women's conference. Hallelujah. Right, before I talk about that, come with me also to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, from verse 1. Proverbs 31, from verse 1. Are you in Proverbs 31? The words of King Lemuel. This Lemuel, it is believed that it is Samuel. Hallelujah. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So in other words, what we are about to read is something that Samuel heard from his mother. Verse 2. What, my son? And what? The son of my womb. And what? The son of my vows. Then it says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now, think about this. This woman is talking to a child. And is telling a child that don't give yourself to the way that destroys kings. Samuel was not a king. But his mother is saying that your destiny and your future is that you'll be a king. And is advising him that don't do things that destroy kings. And when you read on, she begins to give him advice. Hallelujah. Now, these two scriptures that I've made you read, what I want you to note from them is that the lives of these young people were manufactured by their parents. For Samuel to become a man of God, Hannah made a vow to God. A vow is a type of promise. That, Lord, if you give me a male son, I will give him back to you. Are you there, somebody? If you give me a male son, I will give him back to you. That prayer and that dialogue produced a man of God called Samuel. Even with Solomon's mother, she said to him, son of my vows. In other words, I have made promises to have you. I made vows to God to have a type of child like you. So her prayers and her dialogue with God produce a king like Solomon. Are you listening to me? So, we have a hand in the tomorrow of our children. We have a hand. We have a hand. We can't leave it to them only. We must play our role. And as a Christian, your biggest role is the role of prayer. Are you listening to me? So in August, I want to encourage everybody. It's a women's conference, but even if you're a male, as long as you care about the future of your children. And with me, it's not only my child that I'm worried about, but I have adopted all the children of Namapias. I'm their father. And I care about their future. And I care about their tomorrow. And when I pray, I don't only pray for my daughter, but I wrestle with God for the futures of the children of Namapias. You don't know the dream I have for Namapias. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. August, save that date. If you are planning to go home, don't go. Come, let us settle the futures of our seed. Let us make sure that they walk in the destiny that God has been predestined them to walk in. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, I don't have a child. Come and pray for your unborn children. Can I still hear an amen? Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you going to come? All right. Last week we were talking about the power of quiet time. I want to continue and finish off that message. How many points did I give you last week? 7. All right. Number 8. Or before I go, what was number 1? Prevents hurts and reduces pain. Hallelujah. Yes. Number 2. Guarantees a good harvest in good things, in nice things, isn't it? You cannot sow into reading the Bible and harvest something evil. It's not possible, that one. Number 3, burns away unwanted things. Number 4, breaks down evil strongholds. Has anyone noticed that there's some strongholds in your life? Strongholds. Things that you are fighting with. Things that you are struggling with. If you are honest with yourself, you'll notice some strongholds. Hallelujah. Number what? Number 4, what was number 5? Cutting away of unwanted aspects. Number 6. What is number 6? Puts weapons in the hands of the believer. And finally, number 7. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Number 8. A daily quiet time will give great spiritual growth. A daily quiet time will give great spiritual growth. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Nompumelelo, please read for me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Are you there? 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 2nd verse. You can remain seated, it's okay. And verse 2.
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2.
Give her a little bit more volume.
Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto complete salvation.
Hallelujah. Read it one more time.
Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation.
Amen. That spiritual milk that she is talking about is the word of God. Amen. In the King James, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. that you may what? Grow thereby. Now, you know, in life, you can meet a lot of proud people. Do you understand? The Bible is clear here. Growth comes by the word. Growth comes by what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Yeah. Did it say it comes by singing? Did it say it comes by worshiping? Did it say it comes by praise? Did it say it comes by dancing in church? Did it say it comes by church attendance? But growth comes by the word. That's the only way. There are no shortcuts. You read the Bible, you grow spiritually. 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 You read the Bible, you grow. You read, you grow. You read, you grow. You read, you grow. Simple. It's a 1+1 situation here. It's not multiplication. It's not any difficult thing. Spiritual growth comes by daily reading of the Word of God. Daily reading of the Word of God. If you as a Christian don't give yourself into daily reading, I don't care how long you come to church, you'll never grow. You must read the Bible every day. Read. Some of you, you stay wherever. You are even afraid to hold your Bible from your home to church on a Sunday. Ah! Please borrow me your Bible. When I was new in the house of God, I used to borrow me a notebook as well. This was my package. This was my handbag. This was my Louis Vuitton. And what other label? Gucci. This was my Gucci. This was my Versace. And I used to be an usher in church. I used to have a uniform, black suit, white shirt, and a yellow tie that was written Lighthouse. That was my church. And I used to walk from Mayor's Park to Sunnyside with my Gucci, my Louis Vuitton, my Versace by my hand. And I walk like this. I pass Silverton with my two legs. What's after Silverton? Hatfield. I'll be walking past Hatfield into Arcadia with my 2 feet. Passing Arcadia into Sunnyside. And I will arrive at church. Every time I go to church, I walk like that. I walk like that. It was far. I used to catch a taxi. So sometimes my parents say, I don't have money. I say, okay, fine. I've got feet. I shall walk. And I walked. You are walking from what's the street there? And you're afraid to hold your Bible and a notebook. Mzalani, how are you going to grow? How are you going to be a better Christian? If I told you that I'm selling oil in the church, come and see how many you run. If I said I'm selling water in the church, one day I saw a church spraying a car with oil. Fire! Fire! Look. Look. You're a joker, my friend. Growth comes by reading the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Growth comes by reading the Bible. If you really, really want to get close to God, read. Read. Challenge yourself. It's June now. By December, I want to reach Revelations. And read. Start at Matthew to Revelation. Those of you who are in Genesis, say by December, I want to reach Malachi. And read. Spend time. And some are proud also. Say, Pastor, me, I've read from Genesis to Revelation. Thank you for reading. But continue reading. You are not finished. You are not saying amen. I've finished the Bible. Yeah, joker. I've read from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation more than once. And I'm still reading. Recently, I was studying the book of Revelation. I was saying to my wife, I can't believe how many times have I read this book and I never knew the things that I'm learning. But you've read it once and you feel that you have a doctorate. Sis, man. So if you want to grow, if you want to be a better Christian, if you want to be closer to God, you must read. Spiritual growth comes by reading. Comes by reading. Are you listening to me? And we will see you growing. Your language will change. You'll start making reference to the Word of God. You'll start coming to church because some of us sitting here, we only come to church because your friend, you accompany your friend. But when you start reading, something will happen to you where you will start coming for yourself. When you continue reading, you will stop being a chairperson in the church. Chairperson. Some of you are chairpersons. We even know where you sit. When we are talking, we say, the one who sits there. Because you always sit on the same chair in the church. But you're not growing. One of the cardinal signs of spiritual growth is sacrifice. The more you grow spiritually, the more you sacrifice. The more you grow spiritually, the more you sacrifice. Hallelujah. At the back, are you listening to me? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor. How do you grow spiritually? Demand an answer. Number 9. A daily quiet time brings inner healing. A daily quiet time brings inner healing. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalms 107. Verse 20. A daily quiet time brings inner healing. Are you there? Please read for me.
Psalms 107 and verse 20. Mm-hmm. He sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and distractions.
Read it one more time. I hear some Bibles turning. 107 verse 20. Psalms 107 verse 20. Are we all there? What does it say?
He sends forth his word.
He sent forth his what?
His word.
His word. And then what happened?
And heals them and rescue them from the pit and destruction.
Hallelujah. Amen. So God didn't send healing. He sent what? And where was the healing? In his word. The healing was where? In God's word. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from the pit and destruction. So, because of sin, we as human beings tend to self-destruct. You know, if you're a farmer, one of the things you'll notice about farmers is that, let's say a farmer that breeds or farms sheep. I don't know the correct terminology. He will put the sheep in one area. After a short time, he will move them from that area and put them in another area. And after a little short time, he will move them again and put them in another area. After a while, he will take them back where they started. Now, why do they do that? The sheep will tend to eat the grass to the point that they even eat the roots. And when they eat like that, they will have no more food to eat because they even destroy the roots. So they will farm them in one place and then move them to another to allow that last place to grow again. And move them and move them. When the first place has grown, then he will bring them back so that they can have food. So these most animals, they self-destruct in that manner. If you keep them in one place, they will destroy that place. And we human beings, because of sin, are similar. We tend to self-destruct. If you leave us to ourselves, we will tend to self-destruct. We'll be given to alcoholism. We'll be given to all forms of addictions. We'll be given to anger. We'll be given to hatred. There are many, many things that are self-destructive. We tend to, you know, by nature, hurt ourselves. But the Word of God has in it the power and the capacity to heal us from those self-destructive tendencies. Are you listening to me? Yeah. When my wife was pregnant, she said that she's craving sand. I said, what? So I'm craving sand. I said, in the name of Jesus, you are not going to eat sand. Recently, she was telling me that behind my back, she was eating sand. Self-destructive tendencies. Hallelujah. Why would you eat sand? Why? Hallelujah. So the Word of God heals us from these types of things. Are you listening to me? Only the Word. When we were talking to my younger brother the other day, when he was telling us about depression, he said the interesting thing now is that they have a module or a subject where they basically teach them about spirituality, right? So it's not necessarily about Christianity, but the profession has realized that there are things that we cannot, like we don't know what's going on. One brother had a problem with his foot. His foot was growing and growing. He went to the hospital. They checked him and checked him. And the doctor said, hey, gidulo tsaba tute. In other words, no medicine can help you. Go and consult somewhere else. Are you listening to me? So, somewhere, even your doctor will say, look, here, I can't help you anymore. But if you give yourself to daily quiet time, reading the Bible, the things that your parents cannot do, the things that your doctors cannot do, the things that your friends cannot do, through the Word of God, healing can enter you and you see yourself changing slowly. Hallelujah. Yeah. Am I talking to somebody? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yeah. Number 10. A daily quiet time brings healing to the body. Healing to the body. It brings healing to the body. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. To verse 22. Proverbs 4, verse 20 to verse 22. Are you there? Yes, ma'am, please read for me.
My son, attend to my words, content and submit to my saying. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh.
They are healing and what?
Health.
To what?
To all their flesh.
To their flesh. So every time you spend reading the word, you can even be healed physically. 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 In about January, December, I contracted COVID-19. And if you've ever had COVID-19, I can't explain. You feel so tired to the point of feeling tired in your bones. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And one of the nights were extremely difficult. I was in extreme pain. And I started praying. Ekata tere lo votolo botakata keta paraba shatekala lo timbarakata. And I started quoting scriptures and reminding God of his word. Are you listening to me? Because I was noticing, because I was expecting to get better and better, but I was declining. Then eventually I said, no, it's not my time to die. 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 And I started invoking God's word. I started speaking God's word. Now, when you, someone who spends time in God's word, you'll even know which scripture to quote. Like, which scripture is relevant to your situation? So you can stand on the scripture. There was a man of God called Kenneth Hagin. Very anointed man of God. And one day somebody came to him with a big problem. And he asked that person and said, what scripture are you standing on? Like, in other words, as we are coming to pray about this situation, which scripture are you believing in? That God must invoke this scripture over your situation so that your situation can change. And the nice Christian had no scripture they were standing on. Because believers have become very lazy. They have become touch the screen, touch the screen. I met a woman one day and I was leading her to Christ. And as I began to talk to her, she stopped me and she said, she opened her bag and she took out a Bible. And she said, you see, those blue ones, the free ones, you know, those New Testament ones. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? She didn't even buy it. She opened her bag and she said, you see, everywhere I go, it's with me. She said to me, when I sleep, I put it under my pillow. This is not a charm. The book, this is made out of paper is made out of wood. It does nothing for you. It is the words, when you read them, they carry power. Amen. The power is in the words. Amen. I can't put, be healed in Jesus' name. It doesn't work like that. It's in the words. Tell your neighbor, say, it's in the words. I say it louder, it's in the words. So, when you don't know the Bible, you don't even know that God, for example, before these lockdowns began, it came to my attention that Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, no man kills me, but I lay down my life. I said, what? You chose to die. I said, wow. If I don't want to die, I am undiable. I am unkillable. I can only die when I decide it's time. I know you won't say amen. Amen. Then I read elsewhere where the Bible says God has given us 70 years of life. And if you are strong, you can go to 80. I said the minimum life expectancy according to God's word is 70. Anyone who dies before the age of 70 is dying before their time. Amen. I said, what? I started saying and declaring and decreeing that I will never die before the age of 70. Not me. Let it pass over me. It's in God's word. I believe in it. Amen. Recently, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland said, God has given us 120 years to live. I said, Kenneth Copeland, what are you saying now? Because my faith is in 70 years. And it took us to the book of Genesis, where God declares that he is grieved with men. And God says he's given them 120 years. That one is hard for me to believe, but I am convincing myself that I must get to 120 if Jesus tarries. Can I hear a louder amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible didn't say, you know, if you don't get sick, if you don't, it says 120. It says 70. It says 80. So whether you reach there or not is up to you. By your faith. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And you can only know it if you read. The first time I laid my hands and somebody got healed, I read it somewhere. The Bible says, and them that believe, they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. I said, if it's in the word, it must be true. And that's where I got the faith to start laying hands on people. And to my shock, I saw people getting healed. I saw people getting healed. I saw people getting healed.
Amen.
So even for yourself, you don't need to go to a sangoma. You don't need to go to Mamsebelit. If you read the Bible, you can go to your God and say, Lord, your word says. Your word says. And you can convince him. God has been convinced many times. One time he told Isaiah, he said, go tell this particular king, I think it was Hezekiah. He said, tell him that he's going to die. Isaiah went and sent the message. When the king heard the message, the Bible says he turned in his bed and started praying to God. And he said, God, remember I have saved you. As Isaiah was walking out of the house, God spoke to Isaiah and said, turn back. Go tell him I have given him 15 more years. God was convinced by that man. One time, God was angry at the Israelites. And he told Moses, he said, get away from me. Let my anger burn. He says that I want to be angry properly. There are people when you are close to them, you can't get angry. When my wife and I, before we got married, you know, every time we had an argument, she would raise her voice. And I said, Someone say, calm down. We are not fighting, we are talking. So, with me, she couldn't, calm down. We can't talk like that. We will not reach a conclusion. And she also had this thing where we'll be talking about a topic. Give me a topic. Quickly. Corona. We'll be talking about coronavirus. Before we know it, she will say, you know what, this corpus do not. I had a big problem. I said, it means that you are not in the conversation. How can you move from corona to scopus? Then one day I went to visit where she grew up. And we were sitting around like that. And I was talking to someone. And people joined the conversation. Before I knew it, this one was talking to this one. This one was talking to that one. This one was talking to me. All different conversations in the same circle like this. I said, oh, that's where it comes from. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So, God couldn't get angry in the presence of Moses. So he told Moses, he said, get away from me. So that my anger can burn. And God said, I'm going to destroy the children of Israel. Moses said, wait a minute. Don't you remember that you made a promise to Abraham? You made a promise to Isaac. You made a promise to Jacob. He says that if you destroy these people, your enemies are going to say you couldn't take them out of Egypt to the promised land. And the Bible says, and God repented from the evil that he wanted to do. So if you know the word of God, you can talk to him and convince him to do certain things. He's a good God. He's a good God. So concerning your health, concerning your situations of life, concerning anything that concerns you, if it is troubling you, find the scriptures that you can use to go before God and convince him.
Amen.
That's why quiet time is so important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number what? Number 11. A daily quiet time causes cleansing. A daily quiet time causes cleansing. John chapter 15 verse 3. Quickly, I'm now running out of time. John 15 verse 3.
John chapter 15 and verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
You are cleansed and pruned already. Because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you.
Read it one more time.
You are cleansed and pruned already.
Uh-huh.
Because of the word.
Because of the word. Uh-huh.
Which I have given you.
All right. Read also John chapter 17, verse 17.
John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them. Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth.
Read it one more time.
Sanctify them.
Sanctifying is cleansing. It is cleaning. Uh-huh.
Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth.
Hallelujah. So, when you give yourself into the word of God, that word will clean you. It will wash you. It will cleanse away all sorts of bad things in your life. Amen. You can't be a Christian and you're addicted to pornography. You can't. That thing is making you dirty spiritually. It is separating you away from God. You can't be a Christian and be addicted to smoking. It can't be that one. You can't be a Christian sitting here with us. Then when you move here, you go to smokehouse. And you actually enjoy being in that presence. You stop saying amen. I've been preaching very nicely up until now. Look, when I preach, okay, I'm not talking about anybody. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, pastor's not talking about you. Pastor's not talking about me. Yeah, I'm just preaching. You have to be cleaned. You have to be washed. You can't be a Christian and your mouth is dirty. Dirty mouth. All sorts of swear words are found with you. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a sign something is wrong. You're not spending time with God's word. The Bible says you can't with the same mouth you curse and with the same mouth you bless or you worship God. The same mouth. You know, to me, even if it comes as a thought, I've sinned already. That's the standard I live with. Now, for my mouth to say it, I'm lost, I'm gone, I've backslidden, I'm finished. I'm concerned, even the fact that I thought it is a problem for me. Now, how more saying it? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if the mouth is speaking so much nonsense, what is in the heart? I'm not hearing amens. Let me come a bit. All right. Am I helping somebody?
Amen.
You'll find Christians. One day I was driving somewhere. And as I was driving, I saw a woman dancing. And I even made a comment to the people who were in the car. I said, I wonder how the body can do what that woman's body is doing. The way she was dancing, I couldn't believe. Then somebody said, no, that's our church member. I said, so that person comes to church. And where she was dancing, they've got a huge banner of Black Label. The word of God must cleanse you. You can't have daily quiet time and you remain the same. It's not possible. It's not possible. The word of God must cleanse you. You must become clean. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. If you are not holy, you cannot approach the presence of God. Holiness is required. And that holiness comes as you spend time with the word of God. Because you start seeing things and you start noticing that if I am to get close to God, I must become a certain type of individual. And even worse, the Bible says that no unclean thing will enter the kingdom. Now, God doesn't care about, you know, my dust on my shoes. It means nothing. God is looking at the heart. When he's talking about uncleanness, he's talking about the heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, we must change. We must change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I talking to someone?
Amen.
Number 12. A daily quiet time produces faith in the Christian. A daily quiet time produces faith in the Christian. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. All right, we're running out of time. I'll just write. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So someone who lacks faith is someone who doesn't spend time in quiet time. Do you understand?
Amen.
You must have faith. You must believe in God.
Amen.
It's very important. For we walk not by sight, but by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
You must be someone who walks by faith. You must be. You must be. You must be.
Amen.
The Bible says anything we do without faith is sin. When you go to school and you do not believe that it is God who brought you to this school, you do not believe it is God who is, you know, paying the school fees, it is not God who is allowing you to understand, then you are doing school out of faith. And it is sin. Everything must be by faith. It is God who gives you food to eat. It is God who houses you. It is God who has given you a bed to sleep on. It is God who clothes you. It is God who is providing for your children. It is God. It is God. It's God. You must live by faith. You must believe. You must trust in Him. Hallelujah. And that only comes by spending time with the Bible. Number 13. A daily quiet time drives away weariness, dejection, and depression. A daily quiet time drives away weariness, dejection, and depression. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Hallelujah. So every time God's word comes to the earth, it accomplishes something.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And so God's word will drive away all forms of depression, all forms of weariness. Are you listening to me? There's too much power in God's word. There is too much power. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be."
Amen.
That was it. Let there be.
Amen.
It was done. I said it was done.
Amen.
Number 14. A daily quiet time produces power for the ordinary Christian. A daily quiet time produces power for the ordinary Christian. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans 1 and 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and unto the Greek." Hallelujah.
Amen.
So every time you read the Bible, you are empowered. Every time you read the Bible, you are empowered. You are empowered. You are empowered.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. We have to learn to fight our battles by quiet time. It's important, Bazalwane. You know, the first thing that you have to decide on is the fact that you're a Christian. Do you understand? You're a Christian. There are many ways to fight in this life. Many ways. One of my colleagues told me that there were some gentlemen that were trying to get a tender in Sandton. In Sandton, not in Mamelodi, in Sandton. Are you listening to me? There's an advert that says Sandton is the richest square mile in Africa. And these guys were going to have a meeting in one of the offices in Sandton. Now, as they were coming in, some people were coming out. They had just come out. They were also trying to convince the clients to hire them. Now, while these guys were up there talking, they brought a sangoma, and the sangoma was in the reception. And the sangoma was doing his or her things to try and influence the meeting up there. And these guys came empty. No pastor, no nothing. No nothing. They're just, other people are bringing sangomas. You are working in your workplace. You don't know whether your colleague is a Satanist. At night, he's eating people and drinking blood. You don't know. And you think you are safe. You don't know. But when you spend time with God, you are empowered. No devil can do you harm. No devil can do you harm. When I see my brother, I'm thinking he's a soccer player. Soccer players, they do all sorts of things. They bathe in all sorts of waters. Huh? Oh. Give him a mic. Quickly, I'm closing. Just tell us some of the things you've at least heard of that they do.
Hello.
Come quickly. Stand in the front here.
In one of the big teams in South Africa. I won't mention the
put the mic a bit closer. Yes.
Oh, I won't mention the name, but they were black. So every before the season starts, they go to like the ocean and stuff like that, then they bath, you know, go back to the hotels, and then there's a sangoma waiting there with the concoctions and everything. In the bath is black, another one is brown, and they have to soak in there for 2 minutes. Then they soak into another one for 2 minutes, and then they go out. Then they've been sprayed by some stuff, and then they go.
Hey! And you're watching, you say, hey! Latuma! And you don't know what they are. You don't know what they are doing. Hey! Sometimes we see them before the game starts. They go to the goalposts and they'll act like they are, you know, they are just walking. Then you say, what are they throwing? Thank you. Put your hands together for him. So you also need to be empowered in your workplace, in your home. Some of us, when we are sleeping, our neighbor is a spiritual scientist. And our other neighbor, and they are flying past. Hey! So we need to be empowered. Some of us, where we take our children to school, all sorts of evil people that could be corrupting our children. Before you know it, your child is rude like no one's business. And you ask yourself, where does this come from? It might be coming from school. So we need to be empowered. Amen. We need to be empowered. Amen. And it is only quiet time that empowers us as believers. Spending time with God. Amen. There is no shortcut, Bazalwane. There is no shortcut. Amen. There is no shortcut. Amen. You have to spend time with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the last one is number 15. A daily quiet time can make you wiser than your enemies, your teachers, and your elders. A daily quiet time can make you wiser than your enemies, your teachers, and your elders. Psalms 119, verse 98 to 100. Psalms 119, verse 98 to 100. The Bible says, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. This is David talking to God. He says, through thy commandments, you have made me wiser than my enemies. He says, I have more understanding than my teachers. He says, I understand more than the ancients. These are old people. There are some people who, instead of aging gracefully and becoming wiser, it's like the more they get older, the more foolish they become. You see an old woman wearing a skeleton. Old. The hair is whiter than mine. It'd be like a quad. So, quiet time can make you wiser than all of these. And why? Because you're spending time in the Word of God. You can grow to the point that before anyone makes a decision, they want to hear what you have to say about it first. Because they know that when you open your mouth, there's wisdom. You may be young, but they hear wisdom. So, you need to spend time with the Word of God. Are you listening to me, somebody? This is the power of quiet time. This is the power of sitting every single day, spending time reading the Bible, praying, meditating on the Word of God. It empowers you. It lifts you up. You'll be higher than depression. You'll be healthy. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Yeah. Before, as we close, before I call my brother, I was saying that, you know, as a Christian, as a human being, there are many ways to fight. And, you know, you can see one of these soccer teams, they fight by going to the ocean. They empower themselves by bathing in different things. Other people go to sangomas. I mean, I can't understand. If today I want to go rob the bank, I'll go to the sangoma. And he will give me muti to go and rob the bank. Is that person a good person? What if people die during that robbery? If I want to kill my neighbor, I can go buy lightning to kill my neighbor from the same person. And you also, you go to the same person. Can any good come out of that person? So, there's many ways that people fight. Many ways. Even white people, they bewitch. Even white people, they bewitch. They've got secret societies that they do all sorts of funny things. You won't know about it because theirs is secret. At least as we know, you go to the sangoma. Are you listening to me? One of my friends was being chased by Illuminati in South Africa. They wanted to kill him. And he had to move. He used to live in Joburg. He had to move to another province because the Illuminati were trying to kill him. White people. There are many ways that people used to fight. But you are a believer. Your weapon is the word. Your weapon is prayer. So, empower yourself.
Amen.
Empower yourself.
Amen.
Don't just be a sheep who is waiting to go to the slaughter. They must know that we can try them all. But when we come to Nompumelelo, it's a no-go zone.
Amen.
When we go to Nontlandla, it's a no-go zone.
Amen.
They must know. They must know you by name.
Amen.
Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
So you strengthen yourself, you empower yourself with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Arikata kitaraba lezo paladikus. With the Word of God.
Amen.
Empower yourself. empower yourself. At the back, are you listening to me? Empower yourself. Empower yourself. Empower your children. Teach your children. Teach them. My son, my daughter, this is where my strength is. It's in God's word. It's in my faith in God. Teach them. Because before you know it, they'll meet a friend at school who will lead them to all sorts of funny places and destroy and corrupt your children. Let's rise to our feet. Put your hands together for Jesus.